We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
The idea behind this series we're closing today, this series, Worship, is that we are doing eternal business when we pray, right? We are doing God's work when we praise. When you come into this room, let's just use that for an example. When Wanda's praising God, someone else can be changed because God's power is coming from heaven to earth, invading earth. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, comes down, and because his presence is here, someone else can be changed through her worship. I believe that when I worship Jesus or when I pray, sometimes I don't even know what to pray. I'll pray in tongues. It's a gift that some get that helps them to speak to God in a language they don't even know. And I believe when I'm praying this way that people are changed because of it. It's eternal business with God. It's not just a sweet song. I sing a simple song of love. Do you remember that one? Don't sing it with me, but to my Savior, arms of love. It's not just a nice, sweet arms of love song. It's warfare. And yes, there's times that it's gentle and quiet and still, and we hear God and we sense him by being still, but it's also doing work in a world that we don't see, the spiritual world. The devil and the angels and the demons are fighting as we worship God, as we pray. If we could get an understanding of this, if we could really see this, we would believe that our prayers and our praises are more important. But we think they're not. We think it's three songs of church, or five songs, or four songs. It's not. Would you pray with me today? I wrote down this prayer, and it's appropriate. I didn't make it up. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, our trespasses, and as we forgive others who have trespassed against us. We love you today, Jesus. Help us to see the importance and the power of prayers. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I want to talk about the most powerful weapon on our warship. We're out on the waters, and prayer is not something that's exciting to us. It reminds us of sleep because we don't understand how important it is. I've had a little bit of a tough week. I'm going to share just a moment with you. Noah left yesterday. He went back to college, and not on a trip, but this time for good, to his career. My son, he's my oldest son. And usually when he leaves, he comes back. This time he's leaving. He's moving to Arizona. His base is there where his company is, an engineering company. And he's going to be making these little microchip. He's going to be making the machines that make the microchips. And he's almost as smart as me. He's not quite. This is weird. This is looking weird. I feel like it's. In his job, they asked, do you want to stay in Arizona or do you want to make your base there and then travel? And he said, oh, I'd like to travel. So his bases that he'll be going to are Japan, Taiwan, China, Israel, France, like all these crazy places, Netherlands. And he's just so excited. And we're excited too, but we're also super sad. Does this look all right? Does it feel like it's pooling? Does it look all right? Is it good? I don't want anyone to be distracted, okay? Something he's really excited about. He packed up his room for the last time. I wrote down some things here. He bought a new car, a new wardrobe, got a passport, and we had our last week together. It was not easy, to say the least. This is from my journal, all right? But we have a lot to be thankful for, and I'm getting to a point here. Much of the fondness that comes from all of our sweet moments is because we have been on a journey together. Because journeys, when you're on a journey with someone, it makes the destination sweeter, doesn't it? If you just get to a destination, you don't know anyone, and you're with them, you're not. It's not sweet because of them. It's sweet because you like the destination. But if you've been on a journey with someone and you see good times come, it's even more sweet. And I want to relate that to our relationship with Jesus. I think God would say, are you willing to go on a journey with me? That's what prayer is. Are you willing to walk with me, talk with me, hang out with me, spend time with me in your day? Oh, I don't have time. All of a sudden, we all have these anxieties. How am I going to fit Jesus in? And Jesus says, no, you don't fit me in. I fit you in. That's what I think he says. But we don't fit him in. He's just there with us. And so the first point I want to make today, could you put that on the screen, is that prayer is a journey. This is going to be very simple today, but I want to simplify prayer so we're not afraid of it. Prayer is a journey that ultimately leads to the journey Moses was on. He was on this journey. He got to the mountaintop. God spoke. God showed up. He saw the face of God. It didn't happen just out of nowhere. Moses was on a journey. And sooner or later, in your prayers, you will have moments on mountains with God. But often, your prayer will be in a valley with God where you're wondering if he's even with you. Prayer is a journey that leads us through streets of struggle. It leads us through paths of patience. And it works out, and it's a workout that works out our faith. Who likes workouts? Some of you do actually like workouts. You do. Why do you guys like workouts? I don't like workouts. I don't like to run. I don't like to lift weights. But workouts see results. And when you pray, you're working out your faith. I remember praying for God to show us our next place where we're landing as a church when we were in the school building. And we are coming up on 4 months of prayer right here. Where are we at? June, July, August, September, October. In October, we need to give our building here our 2 month 60 days notice. They would like that anyways. If we're staying, then we stay. If we're leaving, then we leave. So we're actively looking all the time. What's the best place for us to meet? What's the most cost efficient? What's the biggest size? What fits our family the best? What do people like? I know that your favorite thing is not, oh, I want to meet in a basement. It's close to being in a van down by the river. I know, but this is a beautiful place, and I am so thankful. But I remember as God was leading us to this, I don't want to leave that undone. So we're not probably going to find a place unless God shows us, unless God speaks to our council and speaks to all of us that we need to move. But if it opens up, we will move. We will find. We'll go to a different place if it's what God wants. But if it's not, then not. But be praying for us, okay? Be praying for wisdom. But I remember praying. This is how prayer is, though. When we were in the school, I did not like I like the school, but I did not like that we could only meet for 2 hours a week. This place, we pay the same for the entire week as we paid for 2 hours a week at that place, all right? And I prayed, God, would you just show us a building? And I went out with a realtor. We saw building after building after building after building. And I was like, God, are you not listening to my prayers? I'm praying for a place where we can fit people in, not a closet. We're not looking for, are you listening? And that's what my prayer felt like, that he wasn't listening. Because prayer is a journey. And I know that God is not doing it just to make me mad. But I feel like he's doing it to teach me patience and teach us patience when we pray. But I didn't feel him answering. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this showed up. Sina showed us it. The realtor did not know anything about this place. And it was the perfect amount of money, the perfect amount of space for the perfect time. And God comes through. But until then, prayer is a journey. I want to read you a quote from Eugene Peterson. He wrote like the translation, the Message Bible, right? So he's pretty smart. And this is what he says about prayer. He's got so many great quotes, but this is one. He says, prayer is engaging God, but it's more like a wrestling match than a greeting. We think it's, dear Lord, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We think it's just like this thing we do, but it's more like a wrestling match than a greeting. How could it be otherwise? We are in a world that is not neat and tidy. We are not in control. There is mystery everywhere in the journey. So your prayer, obviously, is going to be a bit ambiguous as well. He goes on to say, the task of prayer is not to get God to do something I think he needs done, but to become aware of what God is doing so that I can participate in it. Whoa, that's pretty heavy. We think we're getting something done. God, I just prayed for this person that you would do this and this and this and this. And sometimes that's right. Sometimes it's a spirit-inspired prayer. But sometimes our prayers are not to teach God what needs to be done. He's like, I know what needs to be done on this earth. But it is to become aware of what he's doing and participate in it. Sometimes you don't even have to pray to participate in it. You can be praying and then you stop and you're walking or something, and God just starts to kind of not really talk out loud, but you just kind of sense, I didn't see that. I did that the other day. I was walking from the oil change to the mall. I was waiting for my oil change to be done, and I'm walking, and I didn't really feel like praying, but I said, I'm giving you God this time right now. And I felt like he just was like, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to participate or do you want to just do your own thing? You know, real gently. Prayer that is worthy of a worship doesn't happen. I put this in here just in case you think this is what prayer is. Doesn't happen before a meal. It doesn't happen just at bedtime. It's a process. It's a journey. It's a walk. Jesus explains it this way. Put up the scripture. John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, very well known. We don't think of this when we think of prayer, but it is talking about prayer. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father, this is Jesus talking, my Father's the gardener, right? And then it gets a little bit, not angry, but just strict, just stern. My Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Sounds like prayer. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Ooh, I don't like that word. Say that word, prunes. You don't have to. Use it in a sentence this week. Prunes. You probably won't. I hate prunes, all right? Bear fruit that he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Let me tell you two things that will happen in your prayer. They'll for sure happen in your prayer. Number one, I got them from this scripture. He gets rid of what shouldn't be there. It says, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. He gets rid of it. When you pray, he gets rid of what shouldn't be there in you. The other thing that will happen in your prayer, be it long, be it short, he prunes the parts that bear no fruit. He cuts off certain ones and then he prunes others. Prunes, an interesting word, prunes. It's from the Greek word katharos. Prunes means to clean and make pure so that nothing else remains. When I pray, he prunes. When I connect with him, because he's branch, you know, we're a part of it, all right? When we connect with him, he gets rid of what shouldn't be there. And he helps us bear more fruit. Prayer does that so that nothing else remains. The second point I want to make today, and I already made it. Prayer, put it up there, prayer prunes us. Prayer is a journey and prayer prunes us. You don't believe me that it prunes us when we pray? Has anyone in the room, I'm not going to look at anyone specifically, I just look at everyone first before I say this. Anyone ever prayed for a mate? Anyone ever prayed for a baby? Anyone ever prayed for a job? Anyone ever prayed for your bills to be paid? When we pray, he prunes us, because you're praying for a baby, yet you don't get it, you don't get it, you don't get it. You wonder what he's doing. You pray for a mate, you pray for this, and it prunes you. And then so much so that that's why probably, without even realizing it, you don't want to pray anymore, because he's getting rid of parts of you that don't need to be there. I remember we prayed for a baby for so long when we were adopting. We went 2 years. We're trying to do something nice for you, God. We're praying for a baby to help a family that doesn't want their baby. Why aren't you bringing it, right? There was literally days for months and months. That would be at least 3 months, where we cried every day as we prayed for a baby. You have too, with certain things that you've dealt with in your life. When you want something and you're wondering, what are you doing, God? Prayer prunes us. It gets rid of what shouldn't be there. Maybe there was an attitude that needed to be fixed. Maybe he wants to teach you some patience. Maybe he wants to bear some fruit in you. Some love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, or something like that. That's what he does in the prayer. He cleans us, prunes means cleans us, so we will be more fruitful. I wish, and I kind of was talking about this earlier, that when you're at Taco Bell or Del Taco or Monica's Taco Shop, or all I think of is cheeseburgers now, In-N-Out Burger, or Fargo's, which I hope opens again, that what people see is a pruned person who all of them is consumed with all of him. So there's nothing else that remains. The word prune, cartharos, means that nothing else remains. Nothing else remains but you, Jesus. That doesn't mean you're completely weird. You can still talk about sports, Rick, if you want to. But that's not the thing that consumes you as much as Jesus, right? There's not much to talk about when we talk about baseball these days. So it's easier to talk about Jesus. All of me can be in tune with all of him. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Let's put it back up there. For we are co-workers with God in the field, in the city, in the neighborhood. We are God's building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are co-laborers in God's service. If you go on and read the rest of this context, Paul is talking about, stay with me. He is talking about planting, harvest, farming. That's something that people related with back then. And he's saying it's like Jesus' work is like farming. And you're co-working with me in this. You're not doing it by yourself. You're co-working. We're doing this together. When you find your perfect gift, whatever you are meant to do the best, whatever God's got for you to do more better than other people, all right? There's a gift we all have. And sometimes we deny it. Sometimes we don't know what it is. Sometimes we do know what it is and we avoid it. Maybe it's charisma. That means gift. Wink, wink over there. Maybe it's kindness. Maybe it's gentleness. Maybe your gift is singing. Maybe your gift is talking. Whatever it is. I'm going somewhere. When you find it, you will see that God co-labors with you in it. He works with you in it. When you're engineering, you're probably gifted to be an engineer. God works with you. Sometimes you're like, are you really helping me, God? Yes, he is helping you. God works with you. I was thinking of Jared right now. It just came to me. He's getting married in a month. And I just want you to stretch out your hands toward him for a minute. This is not proper in your sermon to do this, but has nothing to do with co-work. Actually, it does. You're co-working with God, and you're co-working with, you're having another person in your life. And I believe this couple right here, with their giftings together, are like dynamite. And I don't mean it in the just what we know dynamite. The word dynamite comes from the Greek word dynamos, and it's what they often use for the Holy Spirit. And I believe that you guys are going to be a powerhouse for God, amen? And we're not going to see him for a little bit. He's going to be going back there but to marry her and bring her back out here. Lord, we just thank you for Jared. We thank you for Aaliyah, that you have brought them together. Lord, I thank you for the hours and hours that he's given to this church and his worship with men's, with the church in general, with the youth as he serves every Sunday night faithfully to our youth and teaching them about Jesus. I pray blessing on him as he goes to see Aaliyah, and I pray for a new realm of anointing. Amen. For this couple, that they will be a powerhouse. No pressure on them, but we are excited to receive them back. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer prunes us. Prayer, the second thing that does is, prayer. Prayer is a journey. Prayer prunes us. And then he just got done talking about how it's like farming. I want to say this. Prayer plants things. I have 9 things that prayer does. No, I'm only going to talk about 3, so we're already done. Goodbye. Have a good day. Prayer plants things. God designed your prayers. This is my favorite part, okay? God designed prayers to plant things. He didn't design prayers to make you more bored and decide, I'm not going to be a Christian anymore because praying is boring. Praising is boring. Sanctifying myself in preparation is boring. I'm not going to do this. No, he designed our praise, our preparation, and our prayers to plant things. When you pray, it's supposed to make something plant. And sometimes you don't water it. Sometimes I water it. Sometimes Jeff waters it. Sometimes someone else rakes it. Someone else smiles at someone in the grocery store, and maybe that does something. It's done by others, but prayer plants things. He never said, pray this way. He said, pray this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He never said, pray this way. Let your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven, and let the people think they're doing something with their prayers, even though they're not. He never said that. That's just dumb. He never said, pray just for your good, just to make yourself feel like you're a part of things, even though you're not. He says, your prayer plants things. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God designed your prayers, your worship, your praises to bring results. Yet we live our lives. I'm happy. I'm not mad. But we live our lives. I do this too. As if my prayers don't do anything. That's having a form of godliness and denying the power behind it. Our prayers are meant to bring things to pass. Well, how come I don't see the results when I pray? Well, you probably do much more often than you think. Often you pray for things, and here's one thing I want to bring up. When you pray for things, and you know God wants this to happen. You know he wants to heal that person. You know he doesn't want them to go through that pain. You know he doesn't want them to go through that suffering. So why in the hell does he not answer? That's what we feel sometimes. We are so confused. It is a battle, and we don't know. And when I say hell, I mean why in is because hell is at work too. And God is at work, and hell is at work. God's bigger. Why don't you win every time, God? People have the ability to choose their own decisions. It doesn't answer the question for me. But I do want to make the point that when you pray, things do happen. Some things are not the answers that you would like to see, right, Kay? Like, what are you doing, God? But it does work. I want to fight through this for a minute. It does work. God's prayers do work. I don't know why he doesn't do everything the way we want him to do it. I don't know why everything doesn't turn out. But prayer does plant things. That was not in my notes, but we pray to merely, sometimes, ease our conscience. Oh, we're supposed to pray. I'm a Christian. It's Wednesday. I haven't even prayed one time since Sunday. Dear Lord, bring new people to my, you know. And we pray and then we check it off. Okay, we prayed, God. My conscience feels better. But we don't believe our prayers make a difference. The things we pray for should actually happen when prayer plants things, okay? Now, I want to warn you just with something, and I don't think most people need to be warned with this. I think we're unbalanced the other way. We're unbalanced that we don't expect prayers to be answered. But you can't pray for a Tesla or a mansion or $1 million and expect God to answer it the next day. Just like your kid asked for something. You know what he needs. You know what he can't handle at the time. There's certain prayers he doesn't answer the way we think he does. And I'm making a point on those kind of prayers because it's obvious. Although sometimes he does bring blessing through prayer, that's sometimes we got to be careful. Because John 15, later on, verse 7, look at this. It says, if you remain in me, here's the key. It's going to bring more confusion and more mystery to you. But here's the key to prayer, okay? Ready? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. And it will be done for you. Jesus says this to his friends. I can see him like, ask whatever you wish. It'll be done for you. And they're like, I'm confused. I don't get it. Whatever I wish. The caveat is this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. That's the impossible part for us, isn't it? To be in this wrestling match and this mystery and the ambiguity of praying and falling asleep and losing our concentration and getting back to it and making it an eternal business that we're doing with God when we pray, we are at some point connected with God so closely that we pray what he wants. Kind of going back to that Eugene Peterson quote that he said, don't pray what you think needs to be done. Pray, and then you'll find as you pray that you are starting to participate in what I'm doing already. I don't get it. It's too early in the morning. Not enough coffee to get to understand that, but I wrote it like this. If you die to yourself daily, this doesn't answer it either, but your co-labor with God will see the right results. If you die to yourself daily. We prayed for years for our son Noah. I know I'm talking about him a lot today, but we prayed that he would grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus at 12 said, I must be about my Father's business. And then it doesn't say anything else about Jesus till he's 33, but it does say he grew between 12 years old and 33, the only verse in the Bible that says, he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We pray that over him all the time. I don't know if I prayed anything more often than praying over my kids because they need it, right? And our spouses, our future spouses, our others. But I pray over them that. And I pray he would find the right job. I pray that he would become a pastor. No, I pray that he would never become a pastor. No, I prayed different things. I did pray both of those things. I prayed, God, what do you want him to do? As a 12-year-old, he was so weird. He was so weird. He couldn't get along with anyone because he was just weird, except for adults. He could get along with any adult that's 20 years or older. But he couldn't get along with anyone else. His friends were all call him weird. He would call him home. He would cry. He would say, nobody likes me at school. And he would say this too. And it's not like a secret or anything. As he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, he started to find his place. He got really good at math. He got really good at every college comp course he took. And then he went to college, and then he was saying it's hard, and then he got some friends that were engineer friends. And anyways, my point is that I prayed he would find the right job. And today, as he looked over Jobs, it felt like labor as I prayed for him. It was a workout. But prayer plants things. And that's why today he has full benefits at his job. That's my praise report. That's why today they sent him $6,000 just to drive out to Arizona. That's why today they told him, we're going to put you up in a hotel in case you need it when you get there, and we'll get you a rental car. And he's like, I already have it. They're taking care of him because he's God's child. And we were going to a movie the other night, and I'm just like speaking now, and just stay with me. We were going to see In the Heights. Anyone seen it yet? It's not bad or anything. You can go see it. It's really good. In the Heights. Anyone seen it in the room? And on the way there, he wasn't talking. We usually talk about what the movie's going to be about, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I have to finish my devotions for today because I didn't do my devotions yet. And I was like, this is why God's blessing you, my son. And prayer plants things. Prayer prunes us. Prayer is a journey. Prayer plants things. Would you come up, Paul, if you're in the room? We're going to close today. Because prayer is a, so is praise, so is worship, is a preceding work, everybody say work, of the move of God. You want to see God move in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your finances? I mean, really? In your kids? In your, you fill in the blank. Where do you need to see God move? Prayer is the work. Prayer is the preceding work. We don't like the preceding work. Not even in worship time. We want to get straight to God's heart. God, would you just invade us? Yet we are not willing to put in the preparation before to enter the Holy of Holies, to come into his presence. We don't put ourselves out there. We don't ask forgiveness. We don't have the time. We just don't have the time. Prayer, praise is a preceding work of the move of God on our lives. It's like the book of Leviticus. It's work. I'm reading the book of Exodus right now. I think it just ended Exodus. And they're talking about all the work it took. If you want God to come into our presence here out in the desert, this is what you're going to need to do. You're going to get a bull. You're going to need to get a dove. You're going to need to get the priest. You're going to need to cut it open. You're going to need to take the intestines out. You're going to need to take the organs out. You're going to need to clean them off. You're going to need to sacrifice the rest of it at the altar. You're going to need to burn the fat in the fire. You're going to need to take the it's just kind of gross, but it was work, what it took to get to God's heart, because God said it's not easy to reach me until Jesus came on the scene, right? Jesus came, paid the price. We don't have to sacrifice anymore. But it still requires us coming to him in complete surrender. I like what Bill Johnson says about prayer. He says this: sometimes we are in a two-day struggle and we pray for one day and we blame the results on God's sovereignty. Sometimes we're in a two-day struggle. We pray for one day, and then we say, God, why didn't you come through? What are you doing? God's sovereign. I guess he does what he wants. And God's like, I wanted you to pray a little bit more. It's a battle. This was a two-dayer. This was not a one-dayer. This was a one-meal fasting that I was asking you to do, and you didn't do it. This was a sacrifice. A sacrifice. I remind myself every Sunday what God said to the people in the Old Testament at times through the prophet. He said, tell them their sacrifice, their offerings, I don't accept them. They didn't go by the rules. I told them how to do this. Yet they come in and they give me their offerings. They bring their praises. They bring their sacrifice. I mentioned this week to maybe, I don't know where, I think it was on Facebook, 100 minutes. That's all God asks you to come spend 100 minutes. I know it takes the 100 minutes you're in this room, but then it takes another 100 to get here, go home. Maybe even takes you 3 hours total to get to church. Wow, right? What a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice, is it, really? I remind myself that God said, I don't accept your sacrifice. I don't accept your burnt offerings. I don't accept what you've done. In fact, your praises to me, the incense is coming up. It's like, it's bad smelling to me. I can't even handle it because your hearts are far from me. And I don't pray that to, I don't say that to condemn, right? I just say, let that not be me, right? I don't want to, especially me, God. I do not want to come in here and be like, do my thing, right? And then you say, not happy with it. I had a pastor that used to do this. If you got up in front and you didn't do it the right way, long, long time ago, no one knows him, but he would do this. While you're talking, while you're praying up in front, and be like, not good. No, I don't want God to do that when I leave. God say, no, you didn't please me today. Every morning we wake up, we should expect our hearts right? Let's come up, worship team, if anyone's here, Bethany. Let's sing this song. It talks about, I know God is judge. He judges us, but he's also a good father. And he wants us to connect with him. Well, let's connect with him just for a moment. We're leaving. We're closing. But let's sing this song together. You're a good father. That's who you are.
And I've heard a thousand stories of one thing. Think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that
let him speak this to you today.
I'm never alone.
Let him speak this. It's a relationship
you're
of love.
Good it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
Who I am.
It's who I am.
He loves you today. He just wants to hang out with you. Wants to go on a journey with you.
I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know that we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need.
Yes.
Before we
thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
You're good, good.
Tell him. Tell him.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
He says right back to you. He loves you. He loves us.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Jesus.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Say this in faith. Say this in faith.
You are perfect in all.
When we don't understand.
You are perfect in all.
When we don't understand. You are perfect, Jesus. You are perfect, God. Holy Spirit, heal us today.
Perfect in all of your ways.
Mend hearts today, Jesus. Mend us, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Your love is so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplained.
Shallow people, God. Let us be deeper, God. Call us deeper. Deeper, deeper. One more time. Proclaim it. Declare it. Declare it in your life. Declare it in your family. Declare it in your home. Declare it. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Just be seated for a minute. God speaks to someone today, that word. Close your eyes just for privacy. He wanted to speak that to you, that, hey, I'm perfect. I know what I'm doing. I know you don't. I know you don't understand, but I'm good. I'm good to you. I'm a good father. I got a house in heaven for you. There is nothing on this earth that you need to fear, because you win no matter what. You win no matter what. And he wants to mend a heart today, or some hearts that question it. And I know it can't be done in 1 minute, but that's what he's speaking to you today. He wants to mend your heart and tell you, I love you. I'm in charge. I'm in control. Just join me in the journey of walking, talking, speaking to me, talking with me, listening to me. I promise you, you'll see results. If you're here today and you need Jesus in your life, you walked away from him, I wanna welcome you home. Welcome you back home to him today. Is there with the eyes closed in this room, I don't want to embarrass you, but you need to come back home. Anybody need to do that? Just put your hand up real quick and write it right back down. Amen. Amen. I see you. I see you. I see you. Anybody else? Let's all say this prayer today. Thank you, Jesus, for welcoming me home.
Welcome me home.
I didn't say welcoming right. Welcoming me home. Amen. Sometimes we say this prayer of repentance, and I think that it's better you say your prayer, because it's not the prayer that's going to save you. It's your declaration that Jesus is going to be Lord of your life. I wrote down this prayer to close, and it says this: Lord, when we look at the book of Acts, we see that before heaven invaded earth, the people invaded heaven. We wonder why we don't see more breakthrough and victory in our lives. Let us be more like this church in Acts. Let us remember our call as your chosen people. Let no one forget in this room that they are a priest, that that's not an occupation by a person in this room, that we are all chosen priests to declare your praises. And speak, let us speak light in the darkness. Would you stand to your feet and just say this with me? Say, let me speak light into the darkness. Say this, thank you for calling me a priest, for appointing me, for empowering me, for anointing me to be your voice on this earth. Let me be light to the darkness. Let me be Christ to the Christless. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.